This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Just as fine as she can be. Looks like she's cold and beautiful. She bad. The essence of beauty.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We've talked with Chris Pronger. Martin is in studio. And it's our pleasure every week to chat with the one and only Dr. Rick Lehman. Dr. Rick, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Real good. So much to discuss today. Electric scooters are now disrupting wrists, elbows, and heads. And you see these things all over the place in every city.
Well, you know, I guess maybe it was predictable. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, you see them in St. Louis. You see them in all cities. I mean, they're all over the place. And I was in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago, and there was like 10 guys riding right in the middle of the road. And so now the reports are coming out from all the emergency rooms that these things are obviously. And if you think about it, it's logical, right? I mean, you get on the thing, you're going 25 miles an hour. You don't really know how to ride the thing. You're going way too fast, and boom, what happens? You run into stuff. You run in the curb. You run into other people. You get hit by a car. So the take-home message is, you know, make sure, first of all, don't go as fast as the scooter is going to go. Don't go down any hills if you can avoid it. Try to stay out of the traffic. Wear gear if you can, you know, long pants, something, because you're going to, if you fall, you don't want to scrape up your leg or hit your knee. And, you know, be vigilant on them, because obviously the incidence of these scooter injuries is going through the roof, and they've already had 2 deaths, and it's just going to get worse as this gets more and more popular. So you just got to be careful to make sure you feel comfortable on it before you start riding it.
I would love to know from the city of St. Louis, when they bring these on board, and I know they're private companies, but what kind of insurance policies they have to take. I would just think it would be a lawsuit mess with all the different people that are grabbing it throughout the day that don't have a helmet. I mean, it's fun to look at, it's fun to see, but I also wonder about the downside of it. I would think there's got to be major insurance to get this up and running.
I would agree, because that's the first thing that's going to happen. You know, people are going to say, well, I wasn't warned. No one told me it was dangerous. I didn't have any tutorial. So I couldn't agree more. I think the liability's got to be just absolutely massive on those things.
All right, Dr. Rick always scans the medical headlines for you, the listener, and then it usually freaks the rest of us out. You can't flush the toilet without running away as it's being flushed.
Can't have your dog kiss you.
You can't pick up your phone, the TV remote, all these. I mean, he must walk around, and, you know, dressed in full gear with his mouth covered and wearing gloves all day, because now you're saying on the airplane, you know, I'll just... Frank likes to drink scotch. I'll usually just have a glass of water. And now Dr. Rick finds a headline that says that water on the plane is basically E. coli soup.
So for everybody out there who flies, and, you know, a lot of people fly a lot, you know, you have to either ask for, if you want water, get seltzer or get canned water or bottled water. You know, they have these big giant water containers, and what they do is when the plane lands, the first thing they do, you know, they're in a rush, so they fill up the water container. Well, all the stuff at the bottom just sits there. And so, you know, as scientists do, they say, well, we're going to test this for E. coli. E. coli is a bacteria in human feces. And of course, as you would expect, this thing just loaded with bacteria E. coli, which will get you sicker and stink. So the bottom line is, if you're going to order a drink, you know, order a Diet Coke, order something, but order something that's in a can or a bottle. Don't let them go to the water source, which most importantly is coffee. Do never, ever order water or coffee or tea on an airplane. That's the worst thing you can do.
Even like a regular flights in the United States, we're not talking about overseas flights, even flights in the United States, stay away from it.
I think you may be better overseas, because my guess is they're a little bit, you know, they probably do empty the whole water source when they get to certain places for major, because they do major maintenance on those flights and less maintenance on the domestic. So that might be better. But on a domestic flight, I mean, coffee, tea, just plain water, anything where they're making a drink, you just want to absolutely stay away from that. So if you're having, you know, a rum and Coke or something, you know, just drink the rum, leave anything much better than having, you know, something with water in it. So if you're having a drink with water in it, get the rum and Coke. Don't have anything with plain water in it at all.
I don't want to be a total weirdo, but I, on the plane, I mean, the air, I've always felt like the air is gross. It's stagnant. I mean, should I be wearing a mask when I get on the plane, Doc?
Well, you know, there's been all these studies that show that, you know, that's where airborne came from and all these things that try to protect you from getting sick. So there's no question that if you look at the bacteria that are studied in the air, first of all, there's 180 people on the plane. Someone's going to have a cold. That's got to be. So they're sneezing, and as you know, that's a closed air system. So I don't know if wearing a mask did any good, but for sure, you're certainly at risk. There's no question about that in terms of getting sick. And anybody who's coughing or sneezing, you do want to try to stay away from.
Well, I might get me on earlier, Frank, if I'm just standing there wearing. You think they'll feel sorry for me? All right, random one for Dr. Rick. I went bowling the other night, and I woke up really sore. Is there something about...
Clip that off.
Is there something about just bowling, though? You don't prepare for that, Frank. Think of that physical exertion. That's a little unique, the bending over.
What did you shoot, by the way?
Iggy bowls, and you're sore after that?
All right, what was the number? I want to hear that.
I was around like 120, which is respectable. I wanted to break 100. I had it going.
This is not a guy with a lot of high goals. I wanted to break 100.
Have you seen the average bowler?
In terms of physique?
Yes.
So
well,
what about that?
But they wake up, Dr. with a Rick, pitcher beer to numb the pain.
Is it an 8 or 10-pound ball? What is that?
16, usually.
16, okay.
Oh, yeah, I was chucking them.
Okay. He was throwing heat.
I think if you don't bowl, just like anything, if you don't do anything and you say, today I'm going to go ride a Lime scooter, anything you're doing that you're not used to doing – you're going to wake up sore because you're using muscles you never use. Bowling is no different, even though it's, you know, not as a physical as, you know, let's say you decided to do 1,000 sit-ups tonight. But
of course,
there's no question that if you don't bowl and you go bowl 3 games or 6 games, you're going to be a little bit sore. Your back gets stressed, your posterior shoulder gets stressed. So I could see that for sure. You know, and in the perfect world, you'd kind of ease into it. So you'd go bowl a game or two and then you'd rest. And no one's going to do that. So, you know, you're going to wake up sore. Actually, good bowlers, I mean, elite bowlers end up having medial elbow problems just like pitchers. And so, you know, we've probably got 8 or 10 professional bowlers in the practice. And they actually do have some elbow issues, although you're right, some of them are a little bigger than other people.
All right, we got a lot of 40s and 50-year-old men listening to this program. You tell them if they had 3 one-hour workouts a week, what should they be doing? What's the best thing in terms of health but not destroying the body? You have 3-hour periods to work out a week. What would you recommend?
Well, if you said what's the best of the best, it'd be swimming. So you'd get on an interval swimming program. And you probably couldn't swim an hour, so what you do is you do 15 or 20 minutes, and you want to do laps as hard as you can do them. So even if you rest at the end of the lap, you want to swim as absolutely hard as you can. Doesn't matter what the stroke is, as hard as you possibly can. And then you want to do these HIIT exercises, which we talked about last time, so high-intensity exercises. And that could be something as simple as doing the most amount of push-ups you could do in 30 seconds, which, believe me, it doesn't sound like much, but going to fatigue you pretty good. And then what you would want to do is the most amount of sit-ups you could do in 30 seconds. And then you would try to want to bump that interval up to a minute. The most amount of sit-ups you can do in a minute, the most amount of push-ups you could do in a minute, and your base is going to still be swimming. If you can't swim, the next best thing would be an elliptical. And you probably want to try to do, again, intervals. So you want to do a minute on as hard as you can, a minute off. You try to want to do that for 20, 30 minutes. And again, that would be similar to swimming a lap as hard as you can, and then resting a minute, swimming a lap as hard as you can, and resting a minute in conjunction with these sit-ups and these push-ups. And if you do that, you will be in shape. If you did that 3 times a week, everybody would lose weight, and there's no question your cardiovascular fitness would go through the roof.
And if folks want to get some questions in before we let them go, the Hall of Famer, Dr. Rick Lehman, it's 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. 282-8255. And this time of year, we've all got the parties, and I'm sure that includes Dr. How do you manage the waistline this time of year? I just read something. One of the famous actors says he's been intermittent fasting to lose weight. I wonder if I do that, then can I go to the parties and splurge?
Yes and yes. So the average person gains 2.2 pounds a year, and 75% of that is gained somewhere between December 12th and January 12th. So those are those, you know, and really it's that week. I mean, realistically, it's Christmas, the week, and then New Year's. So 2.2 pounds a year. And normally you gain about 5 to 6 pounds, and then you kind of lose a little, and then, but you can't lose it all, so that you have a positive of 2 pounds a year. That's the average American. And intermittent fasting works great. I think the biggest thing is there's two things. First thing is you have to be aware of it. So you're just, you know, you're eating Christmas cookies and all this stuff. You're not thinking about it, and, yeah, you're going to gain weight. So you got to think about it, and you got to say to yourself, volitionally, look, I don't want to, you know, eat too much, so I'm going to think about it. I'm going to try to eat less. So that's the first thing. The thing that works for me is before I go to these things, and, you know, much like most of us, I have a lot of commitments, so I go to a lot of these things. So that usually about an hour, half hour before I go, I'll go grab, you know, 2 or 3 bottles of sparkling water, and I'll just make myself drink them. And then I'm so sick when I get there, I won't eat. And I think that works. And then the other thing that works is if you get some caffeine pills and you take 200-300 milligrams of caffeine pills before one of these bashes, usually that works because, again, you're all hopped up and you're probably not going to eat as much. But you have to try to need a game plan, a scheme that you're not just going to go there and eat all the bad stuff that's there.
I love it's either the choice are either you're hopped up or you're sick to your stomach to get through the big bash. Hey, last week Coach Hitch was in town, and Ken Hitchcock's lost about 60-70 pounds. I think we heard that he had done, is it the keto diet that they're talking about? And it sounds similar to Atkins, where there's a lot of, you know, meats, cheese, get all the carbs out of there. Was the Atkins really a good model? I mean, you could eat bacon and red meat all day long and you'd lose weight, but was that ever debunked as a effective method, or maybe not effective, but a good idea?
Well, you know, it's a very effective method. The keto diet, like you said, is a variant of good old Atkins. And basically you're going to eat cheese and you're going to eat a lot of stuff that has no carbs in it. And we've talked about that a lot of times. Carbs, you know, that's going to cause you to gain weight, and that's going to gain in a consistent manner. You're going to gain weight as much as carbs as you eat. The problem with all these diets is the same, and that is high protein load overloads your kidneys. So there's a high incidence of stones, and there's a high incidence of kidney disease in people that eat these high protein, high fat diets and don't eat much carbs. But it is very, very effective in losing weight. The other problem is, which he probably hasn't hit yet, is once you go back to eating carbs, it's like putting an air in a tire. I mean, you blow up so fast because your body is carb deprived. And when you start eating, you know, bread, pasta, anything, you're just going to, that weight's coming right back. So really what you have to do is you have to go from a keto diet and transition lightly back into carbs, because you're not going to be able to do keto the rest of your life. That's just not going to happen. So those people usually gain all the weight back when they go back to kind of conventional eating.
Text here from Jimmy D. He's having rotator cuff surgery on the 28th. It's 100% tear. He is an avid weightlifter, however. He wants to know what's the timetable before he can start lifting heavy weights again.
So heavy weights, you're probably looking at about 3 to 4 months. They'll probably start a little bit of therapy somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks, and they'll have them doing light weights. But until you can really rock it and, you know, do doubles and triples in the gym, you're probably looking, you got to think 3-4 months if he's got 100% tear.
Good stuff, Dr. Rick. We appreciate your time. We will talk next week, sir.
Take care.
All right, Dr. Rick Lehman joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box.
You know, I'm a lot like a lot of people. I want to lose weight, probably 15, 20 pounds, maybe in the new year, maybe a little less. But, boy, I'd rather be 15, 20 pounds heavier than get kidney stones. That's a side effect of the keto diet.
Yeah, correct.
That sounds awful.
I had friends who lost weight doing Atkins, and I just thought, is that good for your system, your heart? Oh, yeah, I just ate a bunch of red meat. I'm eating some cheese. I'm like, well, I do that all the time. And I don't feel too healthy. It's not That's a good great. Look, is it? And by the way, when you say you assign a number to yourself, you got to be careful. I was in Chicago years ago. A bunch of my friends were at a party. We're in the kitchen, and we were talking to some girls. And I said, oh, we're talking about weight. And I said, yeah, I wouldn't mind losing 20 pounds. She said, or more.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's so rude.
100%.
That's not nice.
Not as rude as that one lady. I won't mention her name, a famous wife of a television personality.
At a Christmas party, no, at a get-together, whispered in my ear.
And she hugged you and she said,
lose some weight. This is after I'm enjoying myself. Cocktail party,
had
appetizers.
Some cookies.
Wow, that's brutal.
Lose some weight.
All right.
The rebuttals that I had in mind, I probably couldn't say.
You would look good in some of these winning streak things from Chris Brown. I could picture you in a 3/4-inch zip, a little warm-up action here.
Maybe I'll just say Fox 2 exclusive. I'll just have a little logo of the fight.
Yes. That's good stuff. Like Doug got those jackets probably from
the one time they won the ratings, they had a jacket made up.
He was prancing around like a peacock there.
he was peacocking around.
He was.
It's funny.
Chris Brown is the guy who owns the company. They are in Dupo, Illinois. Go to Winning Streak's website. Find out how they can get you in the best uniforms, the best polos, the best 3/4-inch zips. Nobody does it better than Chris Brown at Winning Streak. If you're a team looking for uniforms, support our sponsors. He is a great guy. We'll take a break. We're coming right back.